Hi, I'm Michael Waits. Welcome to Globe Chong. Globe Chong is a Uniqlo podcast in collaboration with Next Step and Michael Waits Media. Uniqlo is Thailand's first student-run organization to provide university application assistance and other insights through events and its online platform. Next Step is an advanced experiential learning organization based in Asia, providing internships, study abroad programs, and learning expeditions for high school, graduate students, and corporates. The Globe Chong podcast features stories of accomplished and inspiring Southeast Asian high school graduates, that's you, Carlos, that are now in colleges and universities across the globe. And in this episode, I am joined by Carlos Romero Jantacoma, who's a graduate of Shrewsbury in Bangkok. You graduated in what, 2017, yeah?
Yeah, 2017.
Awesome. Good to have you here. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So where are you from originally?
So I was born in Singapore, but my dad is Spanish and my mom is Thai. I think we lived in Singapore for like a year, lived in Hong Kong for a couple of years, and then moved to Thailand permanently.
What does your dad do?
He used to do a bunch of different things. When he was in Singapore, he was selling porcelain, I think.
Okay.
But now he runs the finances for a company that kind of deals with like the logistical booking sites for airlines.
Oh, wow. That sounds kind of complicated.
Yeah, like a third party. They kind of outsource the work to the company, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to me, and maybe you do or don't know this, but it's pretty amazing to me how much of sort of big corporate services actually gets outsourced to other companies. Everyday things that they do that they don't do themselves. It's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. I honestly didn't realize much about that too. I thought it was all internal.
Right, but it's not. Anyway, so how long did you live in Thailand then?
I'd say 15, 16 years. Yeah, pretty much. Like, oh, wow. I can't really remember living anywhere else outside of Bangkok. Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of what I wanted to know. Yeah. So what was it like? Did you always, you couldn't have always gone to Shrewsbury, right? Because Shrewsbury is relatively new, yeah?
Yeah, so I started off going to some, I used to live sort of on the outskirts of Bangkok. So okay. I went to some Thai schools first.
Cool.
And then I went to Shrewsbury in the year it opened. So I think that was 2004. So I was part of the opening class and I've been there ever since.
That must have been super cool, no?
Yeah, it was great. I think it was a big part of my sort of education, just being able to go through my entire like education through one school with the same people, with the same teachers. Like the sense of community really was there.
Did you get a sense that there was something really special about being in that first class? You know what I mean? In other words, when you finally graduated, right? People were like, we did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny because during our graduation, they corralled the people who were there from the beginning aside and they were like, hey, let's all take a photo together. And I was looking around and I was like, wow, I don't remember you being in the first class. I don't remember you being in the first class. But like there we all were and we were all happy about it.
Yeah, it must have been an amazing experience. And was the campus was always in the same place, right? It's on the river, no?
Yeah, on the river. It's beautiful.
I've been there. It's pretty gorgeous, actually.
Yeah. It's small. It's not as big as some of the other international schools, but I prefer to think of it as cozy.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. As you know, I talked to a bunch of kids from a bunch of the different international schools, and every one of them has this sort of, complex is the wrong word, but they always mention the other schools. Like, well, we're not as much as this, or this is that. And it doesn't matter if it's big or small, right? So the bigger schools will say, we're not as cozy as the smaller schools, and the smaller schools will say, we're not as big. It's really interesting to me that the perspective, all of them are great, right?
Yeah.
And they all have sort of good point.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's all
go ahead.
Like for me, it was always like when I do sports for the school, I'd go to the other schools, and I don't know. I mean, having spent my entire like education in Shrewsbury, anytime I was in another school that was like, slightly bigger, or for example, Bangkok Patna, that place is humongous.
It's huge, but even ISB is big, right?
Yeah, ISB is big too. All of them are big compared to us, honestly.
Yeah. So, what kind of sports did you play?
I played soccer. Coming up through high school.
Cool. What position did you play? I played soccer when I was in high school as well.
So I used to be on the left wing. I used to be that guy who's like prancing around trying to dart in and shoot. And then my coach moved me to left back. And I was really confused at first because I was like, coach, like I'm out here trying to do tricks and stuff. And then I landed my first like proper crunching slide tackle, and I realized I really like that stuff.
Right.
I've been playing left back for the past like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's weird, right? So the left back position, that whole back position is way more nuanced than the front position, at least in my experience, and I'm older than you, right? But, you know, the front part was always scoring, scoring. The best position to me was always midfield, right? Because you literally had to do everything.
Yeah, you had to control the game basically.
basically, right? And the forwards were there to score and the defense were there was for defense. But, you know, the game has changed over time, but I loved playing football. Loved it.
Yeah. Such a great time. And our field is great. It's on the river too, so
Oh,
it's
it's
like you have
gorgeous.
an extra nice view. Yeah.
I've been there. So my daughter plays some sports at NIST, and a couple of times we've had to go over
Right.
to Shrewsbury. It's gorgeous. I mean, all the
Yeah.
schools are great, yeah.
Yeah, I really love it.
So did you do, is it an IB program there?
No, so I did IGCSEs and A levels.
Got it. Okay, got it. Because the English
Yeah.
system,
So yeah,
fair enough.
it's a British, yeah, British system.
Yeah, and what did you think about that as a way to prepare you for going to university in the United States?
I think it prepared me reasonably well, but maybe not as well as maybe someone who did the IB system, for example. I just feel like I've heard horror stories about the IB system. But like for me getting here, I think the big difference was with the IGCSEs and A levels, you'd usually be working towards like one big final exam or something like that. So
Right.
throughout the year, you don't really have too many things that are very important that are coming up. You can kind of take the time to focus on other things like extracurriculars or just like generally having a good time. And then when it comes to those like final 3 or 4 months where you guys really need to start grinding and getting your stuff together, everyone sort of comes together and like everyone helps each other out and we all pull through together at the end. Whereas here in college, it's like every little assignment is a little percentage on your grade. And I feel like it really tires me out by the end of the semester to have to constantly be like trying my best and worrying about like graded assignments and stuff like
Yeah,
that.
college is just different, right?
Yeah,
What are you?
very
You're
different.
a sophomore at Yale, right?
Yes, I'm a sophomore.
And how did you decide to go to Yale?
Right. Coming from a British school, I think the figure was something like 85% of the kids from our school end up going to the UK, or maybe 80, maybe that's a bit high. But for me, it really was just that I didn't really know what I wanted to do yet.
Right.
And when you apply into the UK, you have to apply straight into a course. You need to know
Right, right.
what you want to be doing for the next 3 years. And I don't know, as a 17-year-old, I couldn't confidently be like, yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And even at a point where I hadn't even learned, for example, like I know some people that go into philosophy or stuff like that, but have never taken it in high school. And I just kind of find it very silly that you would choose to make a decision for the next 3 years of your life based on something you've never experienced before.
What do you think about the concept of a gap year?
I almost took a gap year. Okay, almost might be a bit much, but I was really considering it. I just feel like it would be nice to sort of get out of that school sort of bubble for a while, because after high school, especially in the like last few years where you're really trying to ramp up and get to the best college and all that stuff, I think you can really get wrapped up in that world.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people I talk to who have taken gap years, they all seem much better off because of it. They're all like, yeah, they've had a bit of a chance to just experience life normally outside of this sort of academic sphere. So I don't know. I feel that if opportunities line up and you have like good things to pursue during your gap year, then I think that could be a good call.
Yeah, I find it really interesting, actually, and I'll tell you why. When I was your age, when I was 17 or 18 years old, right, I had lived a pretty standard upbringing in the United States, went to regular high school, and there was no concept for me of what other international students were doing, right? I'd
Yeah.
never lived outside of the country before, so I wasn't exposed to anything different, and I definitely did not go to an international school. So the idea was you just went to high school, you took the SATs, and you went to college.
Yeah.
But when I learned later on, when I moved to Japan and there were kids from the UK there that did do gap years, right? That's where I learned that term. I thought, that's an amazing idea, right? Because, like you
Yeah.
said, and I'm just agreeing with you, but as a 17-year-old, how do you know?
No,
Do you know?
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You've been brought up in a very like specific environment. You've been in this world for like the past 6 years of your life. I don't know. I feel like it's very hard for a kid to make that decision on their own.
Well, the only things you know really, and no insult intended to anybody, is kind of what your parents and your parents' friends tell you, right? Like, grow up and be a doctor or be a physicist or be an electrical engineer, whatever it is. And that's all you end up knowing. And if you do what you said, right, you just go out and sort of arrange some other things and travel the world or do something different during your gap year, you end up getting exposed to things you might not have seen otherwise. And then there's no regret later, like, oh, I wish I'd known that kind of thing.
I think that's like just that coming off of that whole like opening perspectives things, I think that's also like one of the things that I've enjoyed most about coming all the way over to the US. It's just that here, I mean, I don't know about other campuses, but I definitely feel it on this campus. I just get to meet so many different kinds of people that I would have never met before in my life, would have never had the opportunity to meet. And I feel like I learn, little things from people here and there. I'll see someone do something and I'll be like, wow, I kind of want to be more like that. And I think that's kind of a big thing for, I don't know, just to be more comfortable with yourself.
So I want to talk a little bit about what you're studying, just in the context of how you chose it and why it's interesting to you. So maybe you can tell me what you're focusing on in your sort of freshman and sophomore year.
Sure. So I've just applied for a major. We don't have many applied majors where you need to apply, but the one that I'm going for is ethics, politics, and economics, and I've just sent in my application for that. Fingers crossed that comes through.
Good for you.
But I've sort of because I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I first came to college, I was just kind of trying new things. For example, this semester I'm taking a cognitive science class, I'm taking a history class, I'm taking a philosophy class, I'm taking an astronomy class, and I'm taking a like game theory, politics, and economics class. Like it's really all over the place. But little by little, I'm, starting to get a bit more of a feeling for the things that I like.
If high school teaches you how to learn, then university should allow you to learn things that are interesting to you in a way that's really powerful, right? So you already know how to study and learn things, right? So now you know how to accumulate knowledge. But the idea is, what kind of knowledge do I want to accumulate? I love this idea of cognitive science, but also game theory and politics. Like, what have you learned so far? I know it's a sort of general question, but I'm really curious what that's like when you're sitting in class going, wow, I didn't even know this stuff existed, yeah?
I think the biggest thing for me with that was like philosophy stuff. So the main reason that I'm going for ethics, politics, and economics is because I really like the ethics side of it, but I kind of also want to root it in the real world with economics and politics. And like ethics and philosophy is something that I'd never been like I'd never had any experience with through high school. And I just remember sitting in my first philosophy class and just being like, wow, this is a completely different way of thinking about things.
It's
Like
cool,
school
right?
never taught me this. Yeah, it is really cool. And then I have those little moments, for example, in cognitive science, every now and then I'll see something and I'm like, wow, that's something I could actually use in real life.
Use. Yeah, but wait till you get to game theory and you think about, wait a second. Now
Everything
I
is
can
game
actually
theory.
use this. Everything is game theory, right? So you tell me that I can anchor somebody, right? So simplistic things like, let's say you want $15 from somebody. You ask them for 100 and they're like, 100 bucks is way too much money. You're like, okay, can I have 15? Like, sure, because that's nothing,
Of
right?
course. Yeah.
So in your philosophy class, who are you reading?
So the philosophy classes that I'm doing these classes by a famous professor called Shelley Kagan. And the reason that I specifically like his classes is like funnily enough, I'm not a big reader. I don't know. Books aren't really my thing. But basically Shelley Kagan, he's well known for his classes just because one, his lectures are so descriptive and yeah, they really help the student form their own opinions. And his teaching style is based on having the student do their own philosophy rather than sort of studying the philosophy of other people. He's presenting the sort of certain philosophical issues, and then your paper will just be like, pick the most convincing argument in your opinion, defend your position, and yeah, and then they'll hopefully you've defended it well enough.
Yeah, that's really cool, though. But so he doesn't require you to read any of the sort of Greek philosophers or early philosophical treatises to get a better understanding about how philosophy works?
Not necessarily. There is a bit, obviously there will be a basis for certain things, but there's no, it never feels like it's a closed text analysis. It's more for just foundations within that field, and then once those foundations have been set, then we can do our own philosophy off of it.
So what are you focusing on when you're doing your own philosophy?
The class that I had most fun with was last semester. I took his class called Death, which yeah, it sounds a bit morbid,
A little macabre, but
yeah,
yeah.
but it was yeah, it is about all aspects of death. It starts off with sort of thinking about the body and the mind, dualism, whether or not they're separate entities. And then it sort of goes more into just the idea of death, whether or not we should be scared of death. Like, is death inherently bad? And I think the paper that I enjoyed writing the most was this paper, which sort of dealt with the idea that we can be disappointed at the fact that someone's life ended at a certain point because they miss out on those last few years of their life.
Right.
But if following that logic, I mean, I do a much better job in the paper, hopefully. But
Sure.
basically, in the same way that we're disappointed about that, we should also be disappointed about our lives not having started earlier, because it's all under the same deprivation account that the reason that it is bad that this person has died is because they're missing out on life. And it's just kind of it's little things that like that where I'll be sitting in class, I'll be sort of doodling or making notes. And then I'll come up with something like that. And then when you come up with your own ideas and you're able to put them down on paper and argue them for yourself, I just feel like it's a lot more gratifying and compelling in terms of in terms of education.
Yeah, I mean, look, the idea, and we talked about this earlier, right? If high school teaches you how to learn and university allows you to learn the things that interest you, it also, in a way, forces you to come up with your own sort of life philosophy, but based on the things that you're learning now over time, right? In other words, I know plenty of people who've said exactly what you've just said to me. I wish I had been born earlier because I would have been able to have impact on things like, women's rights or human rights or, voting rights in the United States. And yet now here I am and I have to deal with these other issues if I'd been born earlier. But it's the same thing you said in reverse, right? Sure, if you could live longer. But this whole concept of what do you call it? Deprivation. It's just really interesting when you think about it. But does it change the way you think about your life as it is today? I knew a kid in my university, right, where I went to college, and he studied philosophy as well. And he just kept thinking and thinking and thinking. The conversations with him from his sophomore year to his senior year just changed radically.
I'll be honest, I think that kind of happened to me a bit at the beginning of first semester and maybe going into second semester, because
Yeah.
I was learning all these philosophical things about mostly about ethics and just, for example, utilitarianism. Just being able to view my actions and sort of quantify whether or not they're good, I became a bit of an angsty philosopher, trying my best to maximize my utility all the time and stuff.
Right, pretty normal.
And then I kind of just got tired of that, and now and I just realized that it's nice to think about that stuff, but you shouldn't really let it consume
No, at
what
some
you're
point you got
trying
to
to
get on
do.
with life, right?
At some point you've got to just do your thing and keep moving forward.
So somebody told me, I think it might have been Kengo actually, that you wrote a paper on South Park. Why don't you tell me a
That
little bit
was.
about that? Since that sounds interesting to me. I'm not a big South Park viewer. I haven't seen a lot of the episodes. Remember, I haven't lived in the United States in almost 30 years, right? So when that came on TV, I was gone.
Okay, so I mean, South Park for me has always been it's always been a very interesting TV show, because even though it's so just over the top, you can't really show your kids any of the South Park stuff. I think in terms of its social commentary, it's actually quietly one of the smartest shows on television.
Yeah, that's intentional, right?
It definitely is very intentional. Every single season is very topical in terms of what's going on politically in the world and stuff like that. And I just did I did like a 15-page paper as my final paper for my English project about a particular episode of South Park,
Which
and
one?
about it's one where Whole Foods comes to South Park,
That's
and
so
then
good.
everyone's like trying their best to like, it's about virtue signaling. Are you familiar with virtue signaling
Tell me.
as a concept? Okay, so virtue signaling, it's been a while, but I'll do my best. It's like where people are doing actions to signal their sort of opinion or their attitude towards an issue, but their actions do not actually contribute at all to solving the issue or helping the
Right.
issue or helping those that are actually being affected by the issue.
Right. So in other words, they're trying to make it look like they're doing something to show other people that they're interested in some sort of important concept, and yet what they're doing is actually either irrelevant or counter to that thing. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the whole Whole Foods thing was just that basically there were big instances of virtue signaling to get Whole Foods to come to South Park, and then Whole Foods itself was a big like virtue signaling thing when it comes to like donations at the end
Right.
of purchases. Yeah, I don't remember it too well, but it was something along the lines of that, and there were just like a surprising amount of examples of it, and I think I ended up pulling out a pretty good paper out of that.
That
My
so it
professor enjoyed
your
it.
professor enjoyed it. I'm
Yeah.
sure he did. Yeah, I mean, he's pretty famous, right? And do you stay with the same professors over time? Like, can you take them sophomore year, junior year? Can you keep taking more courses with them?
Yeah, so the classes are offered, and you can just kind of take whatever classes you like. So if you like a particular professor, you can just continue taking classes from that professor, which is what I've
Right.
done with Shelly Kagan. I've taken one of his classes every single semester so far.
Yeah, so I studied economics when I was in college, and I had the same
Yeah.
feeling. I took like three or four professors my freshman year, and then there was just this one guy that was
Yeah.
so good, and I think I probably took three or four more classes with him the entire time that I was at school. Just kept going back to his classes because he was so good. I also spent a year abroad, right? So I was away
Right.
for, well, a semester, but I couldn't do it that semester. But also ran into some pretty amazing people, right?
Yeah.
Professors when I was there. And it's interesting, you find the guy or the gal that you like, and you just go with them, right?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, at the end of the day, you're there sort of, to have nice, like, compelling and engaging classes, and if a certain professor's teaching style fits what you're looking for best, I think it's completely right for you to, I mean, under the assumption that you still find the topics or the classes interesting, I think you should
Right.
definitely keep going that way.
So what about sort of extracurricular? And I don't necessarily mean the activities, but you mentioned earlier when we first started talking that it's very international and you're being exposed to sort of people and ideas on the student level that you may not have seen when you were at Shrewsbury. Was, and I, you know, I'm not familiar, but is Shrewsbury very English focused, UK focused, or was it much more international than that?
I think it's definitely quite international, but it's also definitely quite English focused too.
Got it.
They definitely do pride themselves on kind of bringing that like genuine British education experience to Bangkok, I
Fair
think.
enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so is there anything that surprised you or super interested you from some of the other students that you've met?
I think for me, it really is just like the different perspectives. Like, I think coming here as an international student and being surrounded by Americans, living in America, you
Right.
need to sort of pick up cultural things very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like, yeah, just a lot of ideas that I just wouldn't have thought about at home get picked up. A lot of things back home that I miss, like in Thailand, respect is a huge thing. Here, you kind of just like hope that you can get the respect, I guess.
It's
Yeah.
really different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the cultural lessons that you learn, it's really interesting, right? So when you're sitting in your own culture or the culture in which you've been raised, you take it for granted that everybody, like, you don't even know it's culture. You just think that it's normal. And then you leave
Yeah.
and you just get bombarded with, whoa, that was kind of rude to say to that lady. Why would someone do that? She's, 72 years old. Whereas in Thailand or in the rest of Asia, it's like you just respect your elders, full stop. It is what it is, right?
It's honestly like it's not even like that I came here and it was just like, oh wow, this is so different. It was always just the tiny things like day in, day out where I'd notice and I'd just be like, that's kind of weird. And then you just get that every now and then.
So what do you think about New Haven as a city? Like, do you venture out and have like the pizza that's there and go to some of the cool
Oh,
clubs that
yeah.
are there and stuff?
So, the New Haven is, I'd say, very Yale dominated. The city, it really is kind of it's a very good college city. There's a lot of stuff that is there for college age students. Like you said, the pizza is really good.
It's famous. So New Haven's famous for pizza. I don't think a lot of people know this, but
When I first got here, I was surprised too. I didn't realize pizza was so big in this like little northeastern
right.
city. Yeah, it's huge. I think with New Haven as a whole, we've explored it a bunch, but I probably should do a better job of that. I think it's been mostly just like restaurants. Whenever I am traveling around, we like to travel to New York a lot just because it's so nearby, and I can usually see a bunch of friends when I go.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's funny. So I grew up in Connecticut as well. I lived in a place called
Right.
Trumbull, Connecticut, and I went to middle school for a period of time in Woodbridge, which is really close to New Haven.
Right.
And what I didn't say at the beginning of this is that a lot of my friends' parents were professors at Yale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
All
so
right.
they
So
were
you're kind of familiar with it then.
very familiar. That's why I asked you,
Yeah,
why else
yeah.
would I ask you about pizza? Like, how would I know, right?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
I was desperately trying to like rack my brains to remember the famous pizza places. I'm sure that one or two of them are still there,
Is it
but a bunch
like
of them.
Pepe's? Pepe's
Pepe's.
is a big one.
It's been there for like years. Think
Oh,
about
Pepe's been there forever. Yeah, forever.
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm 3 times your age, and it's been there. It was there when I
Yeah,
was your
you
age,
still
right?
remember.
So think about that. So New York, what do you had you ever been to the States before you went to school there?
I'd been once when I was 8, but it
Right, that
was
doesn't
on the
count though.
West Coast, and
Yeah.
I don't really remember anything. So yeah, not really properly.
Wow.
Yeah,
Yeah, and the
it's
one thing, go ahead.
I've been over the breaks and stuff like spring break and winter break. I've been doing a lot of traveling around the U.S. as well, like going road tripping with my friends,
Where'd you go?
and like I was in Dallas, and then we road trip through Colorado for a bit. I was also in LA, and then we road trip through LA a bit. And this
Cool.
winter break actually is about to be kind of crazy because we are starting in Dallas and then road tripping all the way up to New Jersey.
So you're gonna drive from Dallas, Texas to New Jersey.
Yeah, Dallas, Texas to New Jersey. Yeah, my favorite part's the food, honestly, because you just go around and you just eat the food, the best food at each of the places. And my roommate, who's the one who drives, because I'm from Bangkok and we don't drive.
Right.
He does a very good job of always finding me the best restaurants, like the best like cheap, genuine restaurants to go eat at.
Yeah, are you surprised at sort of the food diversity of the United States and just the vastness of it?
Yeah, I think a lot of international students who come here at first, they underestimate the diversity that's here. But if you really look for it, you can find some like amazing, amazing food. When I was in Texas, that was some of the best food I've had on like maybe in my entire life.
Yeah, and it's different, right? So the food you get in Dallas is definitely different than the food you get in
Oh,
Boston or in New Haven or New York even,
completely
right?
different. Yeah, completely different. Every little area has like their own specialty dish or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go to Dallas, they think the people in Houston are weird, right? So even in a state, it's different. What about you're in December now. It's got to be pretty cold in December.
Oh yeah.
What is that like for you?
The cold is maybe one of the worst parts, I'd say, of being up in the Northeast. And
I'm
that's not
sure it
even
is.
like me trying to be funny. It
No, it's
really,
not.
really is. 'Cause you wake up, you're ready to go out for your day, and then you walk outside and it's just so cold. It makes you not want to
Freezing.
go outside. Yeah. And the
Yeah.
worst part is that it gets dark so quickly.
4:30.
Like, exactly. Yeah. If I wake up, like today I woke up at 2 p.m., I think. I had an hour and a half of sunlight before it started getting dark. And you just end up feeling really tired for the rest of the day. So yeah, I'm not a big fan of the cold.
So let me tell you the reverse, right? So I grew up in, like I said, in Boston and Connecticut and stuff. My mom and dad are from Boston, right? So I grew up mostly in the Northeast. I grew up in cold. I shoveled snow when I was a kid. And then I moved to Tokyo for 20 years, right? So it was cold there, even till today. Well, I'm sitting in M. Quartier, right? At 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, It's cold in there, right? So when I walk outside, I expect to be freezing cold in December. And I'm not.
Even then, yeah. Do you like it? Do you prefer the heat to the cold?
I'd rather be in the sun than in the cold. Like, I want to die in the sun because I feel like I
Yeah,
could
fair.
die in the snow, and I just hate it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I really don't like it at all. Anyway, this has been a really great conversation for me. I don't want to take up any more of your time. I really just want to say thank you for doing this, and it
No
was
worries.
awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, man.